We're reading the prophet Amos right now, and I'll probably talk about him because he's a very important figure in the formation of the Old Testament by God's will. But I want to look at this text. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, we just had almost the same text yesterday from Luke. Cycle C, 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time. We have that text from Luke, which rhymes almost perfectly with this text from Matthew, which we have today. This is about vocation. Anybody's vocation. You say, the scribe approached, which is rare because scribes don't usually approach Jesus like this, and said, in this translation, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. He could have also been saying, teacher, I want to follow you right now wherever you're going right now. You know, not. But the Lord answered him in terms of a following. Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. You follow me, you're taking quite a chance. Be ready for that. And then another of his disciples, now this time it's a disciple, said to him, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Now that's probably a Semitic phrase. You see, in that part of the world, when someone dies, they're buried within 24 hours. Especially in those days. There was no embalming, there was no... So the body was buried within 24 hours. So, but the phrase, bury my father, often means be there in my father's long, prolonged illness and, that's what the phrase could possibly, quite possibly means here. You see the advantage of good historical and philological work. It does help us. Jesus' answer to him was, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. You know, there's plenty of people who can help your father. But you see, there's two words in this text that are establish the authority of Jesus to speak like this. One is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. That's the figure in Daniel 7, chapter 7, verse 13. He comes to the Ancient of Days and receives honor, glory, and so forth, and rule over all the nations. So while the term can mean Son of Man, like this human being, it has all those overtones. I saw one like a Son of Man. And our Lord takes all those overtones and applies them to himself. It's a gentle way of trying to get people to understand he's God. And this is a gentle way of trying it's not quite so gentle in John. He's quite blunt about who he is. The Father and I are one. But here, this Son of Man. However, in the next text, about the dead, see, there are many texts like this. Like, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Anybody who prefers father and mother to me is not worthy of me. This cuts across all Jewish piety as instructed by the Lord himself. So who can this be? And it's amazing that the person who understood this most deeply in our era is Jacob Neusner, a Jewish scholar. He's the one with whom the Pope dialogues in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. Huh? Because Jacob Neusner, I forgot how we say it in English, Neusner, has great love for Jesus and great admiration for Jesus. But Jesus, you're putting yourself in the place of God. I can't follow you. You see, because to make that next step, you need a grace that only God can give you. And so to say, you see, that don't honor your father this way, you follow me, that cuts across the most primary obligations from the Torah in Judaism. Who is this man who can say, don't do that? And whoever honors his father, loves his father and mother more than me, is not worthy of me. Father and mother, family, that's everything. And it's the rock bottom understanding of the Torah. And Jesus says, no, follow me. You see what he's saying? I have authority to change the Torah because I am the living Son of God. So you see, this instruction that we have is not just about the exigencies of real discipleship, to which I'll return in a moment. It's about his identity. How can he demand this kind of loyalty from us? Because he is the living, eternal Son of God, who nevertheless, as living, eternal Son of God, died to bring us back to eternal life. He has the right to tell us what to do. And he has the right to be first in our lives. And that's what this text is all about. He has the right. He doesn't enforce that right, frighten us into it, which he could do, I guess. He just says, this is who I am. And not only am I the living, eternal Son of God, but I am the one who on the cross became your Savior. I have total rights over your life. But I don't demand them. I try to elicit them. And we're trying to make up our mind whether we're going to obey Jesus or not. I mean, like, can you imagine if we grasp this, love him, obey him like this, the whole world will catch on. And I'm amazed, you know, when you see how many books of exegesis discussing these things, and it takes a Jewish scholar to point out the full implications of what Jesus is saying. Honor your father and your mother. Anyone who honors their father and their mother more than me is not worthy of me. Who is he? Oh, we'll all give the right answer. But when he tells us to do things today, are we going to do them? He is the Lord. But he never claims it, obedience only on that. He says, obey as I obey the Father. And obey because I lay down my life for you.